Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 68 through 79, and reads as follows. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word. About 6 months before Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, another important baby was born to the aged Zacharias and Elizabeth, namely John the Baptist. When the promise of John's birth was first announced to Zacharias by the angel Gabriel, Zacharias doubted that he and Elizabeth could have a son because they were both so old. As a punishment for Zacharias' doubts, God removed his ability to speak. Then, after John was born, and after Zacharias had written that his name was indeed to be called John, as Gabriel had instructed him, then God restored his speech. It was then that Zacharias spoke the words of our text, which have become known as the Benedictus because of the first word in the Latin version. Both the word Benedictus and the English word blessed in the first line of our text is a word of exhortation for all people to bless the Lord, to praise him on account of his amazing goodness. So this word conveys the great joy that Zacharias felt in gratitude to God for his gracious blessings. But Zacharias is not so much praising God on this occasion for giving him and his wife a son, though he was certainly grateful for that too. Rather, he is praising the Lord especially for sending the Savior, Jesus Christ, into the world, because the Messiah was very soon to be born, only 6 months after the birth of John. Let us therefore, on the basis of our text for this morning, consider why true Christians rejoice at the coming of Christ. We shall see in the first place that Christ's coming reveals God's grace. Secondly, that his coming shows God's faithfulness to his promises. And thirdly, his coming brings forgiveness and salvation. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. The verse that comes just before our text identifies these words in our text, these words of Zacharias, to be a prophecy inspired by the Holy Ghost. It is also a song of praise to the Lord in which Zacharias speaks of the glorious effects of Christ's redemptive work in the present tense, even though, again, Jesus had not yet been born. So we read in the first two verses of our text, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited, that is looked upon, and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. So Zacharias here blesses or praises the Lord God of Israel for looking upon his people in grace and mercy, redeeming them from their sins. It is truly amazing that God would still show so much loving kindness to his people who so frequently rebelled against him. A review of Old Testament history reveals that though the Lord showed so much loving kindness over the generations to the children of Israel, delivering them from many dangers to their bodies, giving them his precious word for the salvation of their souls, yet they very frequently rebelled against him and worshiped false gods, idols. And sadly, you and I are quite the same. Even though God has shown us so much loving kindness, we sin against him each and every day, more times than we can know, almost as if his grace means nothing to us. So we all need to repent again and again, looking for forgiveness for our numerous sins in thoughts, words, and deeds. And thankfully, God extends us forgiving grace for Christ's sake. In Christ, he has redeemed us. To redeem means to purchase or to ransom. Christ Jesus purchased, ransomed us from our sins, death, and hell, not with gold or silver, but with his own innocent life and his bitter suffering and death on the cross. This is what the Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle. Ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, your sinful conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our mighty Savior, Jesus Christ, who redeemed us with his holy precious blood, is called by Zacharias in our text, a horn of salvation. Now, a horn is a symbol both of beauty and strength. God has equipped various creatures with horns, which are both noble ornaments and powerful weapons for the animals. The Lord Jesus is called our horn of salvation because with his mighty power, he conquered sin, death, and the devil for us and has secured for us everlasting life in heaven as a free gift of his grace. This horn of salvation was raised up to save all people, as our text says, from the house of King David. David was a faithful servant of God who eagerly awaited the coming of the Messiah. And God graciously promised David that the Savior would be one of his descendants. In Psalm 132, we read, the Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. In Jeremiah chapter 23, we read, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Since God promised in the Old Testament scriptures that Christ, the Messiah, would be a descendant of King David, that is exactly how the Lord brought it to pass in the fullness of time, causing both Joseph, who was the assumed father of Jesus, and Mary, Jesus' actual mother, both to be descendants of King David. As was mentioned earlier, even though Jesus had not yet been born at the time that Zacharias spoke the words of our text, he, speaking by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, praised God in prophecy from the perspective of the completed redemptive work, using the present tense. as though Jesus had already accomplished all that he had come into this world to do to save us. And so Zacharias, the aged priest, praises the Lord for having fulfilled all of his Old Testament promises. We continue reading in his Benedictus. As he, the Lord, spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. The promise of the Savior dates back all the way to the Garden of Eden, right after Adam and Eve fell into sin. He gave them a promise of a Savior to come. As time went on, God added more and more prophecies, revealing more information about the coming Savior through chosen prophets. For example, the Lord revealed that the Messiah would be a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Judah, from the family of David. It was furthermore revealed that he would be a great prophet like Moses, a great king like David, a non-Levitical priest like Melchizedek, and that as our great high priest, he would take the sins of the whole world upon himself and suffer for us in our place. The fact that he would be born of a virgin in the little town of Bethlehem was also foretold. And on account of the fulfillment of all those Old Testament prophecies, Zechariah praises the Lord God of Israel in his Benedictus. Our text continues by stressing the wonderful benefits of Christ coming into this world, the benefits of his redemptive work. We read, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Our most serious, our most dangerous enemies are not our fellow human beings. They are the devils. The devils who work to injure and ultimately destroy our saving faith. So then, to deliver us from the hand of the devil, into which all of us are born in our natural state of utter sinfulness, the Lord Jesus came into this world as a true human being to take our place under God's law, to be our substitute, thus to save us from the grasp and punishment that the devil would have brought upon us without Christ. In that first gospel promise that was spoken to Satan, but for the benefit of Adam and Eve, God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, the seed of the woman, Jesus, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And in the first epistle of the Apostle John, we read, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Yes, Christ came into this world specifically to overcome and conquer the devil for us. And as a result of that, we can overcome and resist the devil's temptation. And we, through faith in Christ, escape the everlasting damnation of hell that the devil would otherwise bring us down into. That Christ would come and deliver us from our spiritual enemies was not just something that was predicted in the Old Testament. It was promised by the Lord God himself, the Lord God who never lies or breaks any of his promises. And so as Zacharias continues in the Benedictus, he praises God for the faithfulness of his promises, his covenant which cannot be broken. He says, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. In light of God's faithfulness and grace, which brought Christ the horn of salvation to redeem us with his holy precious blood from the power of the devil, we who have received those blessings of God's grace through faith, are to dedicate our lives to the loving service of God in gratitude for all that Christ has done for us. Accordingly, Zacharias continues in his Benedictus, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Our service to God is to be without fear of our enemies. We've been saved through Christ's redemptive work. We have nothing to fear. But out of love and gratitude to him, we desire to serve him in our lives. Or as Zechariah says in our text, in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. We should not want to leave him at any point. We should not be making plans to take any even small breaks away from our Christianity. God wants us to serve him 24 hours a day, every day of our life. And that is what we too want, according to our new man, only to serve him all the days of our life. Our life of service to the Lord is definitely not to be thought of as something we just have to do, a great burden that's been forced upon us. Well, it's to be our delight to follow God's commandments out of love for the Savior. It was the knowledge of God's great grace in Christ Jesus that moved Zacharias, especially at the birth of his son John, to rejoice. Knowing that John, his son, was the appointed forerunner of the Messiah, the great prophet who would prepare the people for Christ. And so now, addressing his newborn son, Zechariah says to baby John in our text, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God." And when John the Baptist got older, he did that very thing. He prepared the people for Christ. First, by preaching the law very sternly to those who were proud and impenitent, to impress upon them their need to repent lest they fall under the punishment of God's wrath. Some excerpts from John's sermons can be found in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. To the self-righteous Pharisees, who thought that their works would save them, would earn for them salvation, we read that John told them, this is a quote from Matthew chapter 3, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Though John was a powerful preacher of the law, it should not be thought that he only preached the law and did not preach the gospel too. He certainly did preach the gospel to those who were sorry for their sins, who needed the comfort of God's redemption through Christ. As Zechariah said in prophecy in the Benedictus, he would give the people the knowledge of salvation by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God. Yes, those who lamented their sinfulness and the fearful wrath of the Lord to come were directed by John the Baptist to behold in Christ their Savior, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus, is called by Zacharias in our text, the dayspring, which means sunrise, from on high. Christ is the spiritual sun that brings light and life into this world of spiritual darkness. By nature, you and I and all people are in spiritual darkness, unbelief. And in that state, the only thing that we can do is to bring forth works of darkness, sin. And what that leads to, apart from Christ, is eternal darkness in hell. But thankfully, the Lord had mercy upon us, gave us the light of His saving grace in Christ Jesus, brought us to the spiritual light of saving faith, and through Christ has given us the promise of eternal light in heaven. So, Zacharias concludes the Benedictus by saying, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Through the light of the gospel, our feet are guided into the way of peace, since by faith in Christ, produced by the gospel, we have peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of eternal peace in heaven. The season of Advent, which we begin today, is the lead up to Christmas and should therefore direct our hearts and minds to the celebration of Christ's birth, His coming into the world as a true human being to be our Savior. The joy of the Christmas Advent season that we experience should be the same kind of joy that's expressed by Zacharias in our text, namely joy that God sent His Son into the world to be our Savior. Joy that He kept all of His Old Testament promises, as He will also keep every promise that He's ever given us in Holy Scripture. Joy that we have forgiven salvation through Christ, on account of His perfect atonement. So may the Holy Ghost, through the power of the gospel, grant you this Advent Christmas joy, so that we may serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.